Folks, I felt like we owed you a conversation tonight. It's been a tough night out there in Caniac Land. I believe a man better than I may have once said, "Turn out the lights, the party's over." That's right, folks. Good night, sweet prince. Jeff Skinner is now a member of the Buffalo Sabres. Welcome to this, the Goodnight Sweet Prince special edition of Cheaters Never Win. My name is Mike, and on the line with us, we have probably the best hockey guy that's associated with us. No, it's not Derek, because, well, that guy is Pat Clark. Pat, welcome to the special edition, man. How are you?
Doing all right.
That's the analysis I called you for, Pat. That's it right there. Thanks for listening, everybody.
No tears. No, you know, said it with a straight face. So
folks, we wanted to come to you tonight. We felt like with the trade of Jeff Skinner off to Buffalo, this deserved a little bit of a conversation. I know some of the folks on the team are writing up a few things on the 328 team, Derek and Pat. But we wanted to come to you tonight so that way we could kind of talk this thing out. So, Pat, I was walking around the beautiful Target North Hills when my phone blew up. I had 114 text messages and close to 200 Twitter alerts. And I'm like, something has happened. And as soon as I felt that, like, just constant stream, I was like, yeah, Skinner's gone. Where were you at, and what was your reaction, your immediate just gut reaction to the Skinner trade?
I was standing on my back porch grilling some dinner for the family when news of the Athletic's James Mertl's tweet of hearing there might be a trade or something to that effect. And, you know, we passed that along in the private 328 Slack channel. You know, we're just joking. Oh, who's this going to be for? Toronto trades, you know, a whole bunch of nothing for Max Pacioretty or whatever. And then the phone buzzes with the official app alert with the trade. And I was like, this is not going to go over well in Caniac Nation. And then I ignored about 200 messages of my own while I ate dinner with the family. So.
Yeah. And if there's anything we do know, it's the fact of Caniac Nation will absolutely overreact when we have traded one of our most beloved former sons. So, Pat, kind of got your reaction. I think you and I were both, you know, a little bit shocked, and we're kind of like, huh. But you've had a couple hours now to kind of digest this trade and think about, go, okay, all right, we got some draft picks, we got a poo. Not Apu, because, you know, that guy can't play hockey. But what's your hockey reaction now as you know, the hockey guy, the hockey mind of the 328 crew? What's your hockey reaction to this trade? Pat, justify
this. The Hurricanes lost this trade.
Okay.
Oh, they lost this trade in the vacuum. If this is the only transaction between now and the opening of training camp, the Hurricanes lost this deal. They lost an NHL player for maybes. It's the only way you can evaluate it today. And as I kind of try and work on my little write-up, it just opens up questions. Do they make another deal? Don Waddell, during his press conference later this evening, said, probably not. I wouldn't be one to believe him, but if nothing else is done to this roster, it's a net loss on the NHL roster.
So I absolutely agree with you, Pat. Yeah, this is the Buffalo Sabres got the better National Hockey League player in the 2018 season out of this trade. I think there's no questions asked there. And again, like you said, in a vacuum, it's an absolute loss. That said, do you think any New York Islanders fan would make that trade today for Jonathan Tavares? That's what kept coming back to me, right? You know, would the New York Islanders be better off in the next couple of seasons if they had Poo and 3 additional draft picks.
I think they would take that today.
Absolutely.
I think if we were to wind back the clock 1 year, they would be shitting all over this.
Right, just like we are today, right? And that's mentally where my mind's at, right? I'm like, absolutely. We probably, rightfully so, are kind of shitting all over this trade. But if we lose Jeff's, if we have a 10th consecutive season of no playoffs, and the Carolina Hurricanes were not to trade Jeff Skinner and to get absolutely nothing in return, we would be going, well, damn, why don't we get at least some draft picks for him, right? So it's hard because we're sitting here in the here and the now, and right now, this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like the team got better. And I've seen, you know, there's so much speculation out there, right? And I don't think we're ever going to know the story. Is Jeff Skinner ever going to be one to, you know, come out and kind of give the full story? Jeff Skinner gets a lot closer to home. I don't think Jeff Skinner, with the salary cap situation in Toronto, can ever go back and play for his hometown Toronto Maple Leafs. But if you can't play for the Maple Leafs, you might as well play for the team down the street and get back closer to Markham, right?
Well, and get on, you know, nationally televised games too, at least in the U.S.
Yeah, nationally televised games in a contract year. But again, Jeff Skinner's also the guy for the last couple of years. Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, he's going to be playing with the most talented center he's ever had.
Oh, absolutely. He's going to be, you know,
in Jack Eichel.
Playing with Eichel.
There's no way he's playing with anyone else.
Yeah, you know, you put him with Eichel, he's gonna score points, he's going to have a good season, and he's going to make a metric crap ton of money, whereas he was probably going to play second or third line minutes in Raleigh, and even if he had stayed in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were kind of having, a private chat amongst the 328 faithful there, Pat. There's a slight feel to this, and that there is absolutely, this is just complete conjecture. Was there any concern that Jeff Skinner may not just report to camp at all? I mean, I know that's something we were kind of talking about, you know, with all of the hurt feelings that have happened over this summer, with the public speculation that Jeff Skinner were going to be traded. Was there any worry that our beloved sweet prince, our former Calder winner, wasn't even going to report to Raleigh this fall?
I can see the logic and the thinking, but my gut feeling was no. And so another parallel that we were kind of drawing was comparing this to the Matt Duchene trade. And if you look at Matt Duchene, he reported directly to Colorado's camp last year. He had the awkward, you know, headshot photo and looked like someone who just, you know, kicked his puppy up into the sun, you know, the first few days of camp. And going into a contract year, I don't see any way, you know, it's going to help his you know, future signing value or trade value to hold out. So I couldn't discredit the idea, but it'd be really bad luck for him.
Yeah.
It'd
be a bad look to hold out, but then again, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I like Jeff Skinner, the player. You know, we were talking, you know, everyone around the National Hockey League right now is going, damn, the Canes got fleeced in this trade. When all of the same people, you know, 18 to 24 months ago, were all saying Jeff Skinner is one headshot away from never playing in the National Hockey League again. So it's tough to, you've got a young player who's infinitely talented, who may or may not have been completely misused by a previous coach, and you know, Jeff Skinner probably never has reached his full potential here in Raleigh, and you know, we may be in a situation where Jeff Skinner never reaches his full potential, a la Elias Lindholm, because he was misused so often and so early in his career. But you know, other folks out there, you know, pointed to the Eric Cole interview with Adam and Joe, you know, six weeks ago, that really, you know, Eric Cole was coming out and saying, you know, we've let Jeff Skinner off the hook way too many times. How does that type of thing by a team ambassador, you think, affect what is a player-controlled no-movement clause. I mean, we've heard rumors out there that there were other, you know, trades that were potentially offered that, you know, Jeff Skinner said no. I mean, I look at it like this, right? We had an offer on the table. Jeff Skinner said, yep, I'll go. What happens if we hold on to Jeff Skinner and everyone goes, well, we should have held on to him and got more return at the trade deadline? Well, what if Jeff Skinner, I mean, I don't want to do revisionist history, but let me remind everybody what happened when we had that same thing happen with Ray Whitney. We wanted to trade Ray Whitney. Ray Whitney's like, nah, I like it in Raleigh. I'm going to see what happened goes in free agency, and basically declined every single trade that we had for him. And we got nothing for Ray Whitney, and we were worse off for it. So, you know, Jeff Skinner goes out there, he's having himself a hell of a season, and we go, okay, Jeff, we're going to trade you. And Jeff goes, nah, I'm staying in Raleigh. Let's see if we can make the playoffs, and then I'm leaving in the offseason. And we get Tavares. I hate that idea, but don't we have to be more proactive in the position that we're in? You know, Sporting News came out today and said the Hurricanes had the fourth best prospect system that are out there. Some really good prospects. Again, there's Don Waddell, as you mentioned, came out tonight and said, you know, there's probably not another trade. But if there's another trade that potentially involves Justin Falk for a forward, and there's a lot of deficient teams out there on defense who could give up a forward, looking to, you know, three or four Canadian teams in particular, we could backfill Jeff Skinner's points and Jeff Skinner's talent. We've got young guys who need a chance. We've got guys who they're there. And I have to imagine that Rod Brendamore, a guy who has been around Jeff Skinner his entire career, had to at least have a little bit of say in what went on with this trade. Wouldn't you believe so?
Absolutely. I think this decision was made, you know, in April when they had their exit meetings. I think a decision was made probably by both parties. And it was just a matter of time before they could get a deal done. And kind of based on Waddell's comments, I think the number of teams, you know, Skinner was willing to go to, and, you know, the teams that were willing to offer up anything were probably slim to none at this point. You know, maybe it was just Toronto and Buffalo. Who knows? So I disagree with the whole you hold on to him, you start the season with him, because if a guy doesn't want to be here, just let him be free, you know?
Yeah, if you love him,
let him go, and let both.
If you love him, let him be free. And, you know, if he loves Raleigh so much and he's so much a part of this community, hell, maybe he comes back. That ain't happening, is it?
No,
it's not happening.
No. And that's fine. You know what? All right. Take the loss today with eyes, you know, down the road towards October. I'm not going to say next year or the year after when, you know, the team actually makes these picks. What they need to do is do something with the, you know, $5.7 million in cap space and apply it to the team before October 4th.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, there's got to be, I feel like there has to be a little something done to improve upon this situation.
So
at least just from a fan's perspective.
Opens up. Absolutely. Because I would say since April, it's been a bunch of small PR wins for an organization that needed those PR wins since the ownership change, since Ron Francis was dismissed, the whole coaching change, you know, whatever may or may not have happened behind the scenes there. This one is probably the biggest hit we've seen since Francis was released. So they're going to need at least a PR win or have the best, you know, month of October in the NHL to kind of fan the flames.
You know what? So. You've got the number two draft pick in Svechnikov. You've got Marty Nachos, who is coming in here. You got guys like Sorella. You've got, you know, there's names up there that can fill the top of this lineup. There's guys out there who could potentially be traded. I'm looking at you, Max Pacioretty. I'm looking at you, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. There's bodies out there that you know could come back in here. Pat, you know, I wanted to, again, I don't want to bash Jeff Skinner. Like the kid, like him as a player. the Canes are absolutely taking one on the chin tonight. But I wanted to, right or wrong, I want to tell my personal story of two Canes experiences in the last 90 days, let's call them. So, Pat, would you give me a minute? Let me be Irish. I'm kind of mourning what's going on in here. I'm enjoying a nice sip of the Irish, but might I tell a story?
Oh, please, by all means.
Thank you, Pat. So folks, how about this? Those of you who know me well, I try to be a good dad most days. I try to take pretty good care of my kids, my family, my friends. One of the things I like to do, I like to take my kid out for ice cream. He's three. There's going to be a day where I can be like, nah, kid, you probably need to get some protein in and that type of thing. But he's three. He's a good kid. He deserves ice cream. So we go out for ice cream a fair amount. Both of these are going to be ice cream stories. So I go out for ice cream. One day, I'm in Cameron Village, hanging out. And we're sitting outside an ice cream shop. Kid sees his favorite, one of his favorite hockey players. Hockey player's walking along with his dad. And I said, and my kid points to him and says, oh, Jeffy. And I was like, yeah, buddy, that's your favorite player, Jeffy. Jeff Skinner walks right past us, hears us, looks at us, doesn't nod, doesn't acknowledge us, doesn't wave, and just keeps going. It's not during the hockey season. It's not having dinner with his family. He's walking by a three-year-old kid who has seen him at practice numerous times. You know, we live right down the street from RCI and has seen him, been around him. The kid, you know, has a Skinner jersey, you know. Doesn't acknowledge the kid whatsoever. And you know what? That kind of hurt. You know, I was like, I didn't expect him to be like, you know, to fawn over my kid or that type of thing. But what would have been nice is if he had just taken a pause and been like, hey, good to see you, kid. All he had to do was stick his hand out. It would have taken all of 3 seconds, giving the kid a fist bump, would have made his day. There was not another person around. It was the middle of the week, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So it wasn't one of those things where if he stopped or anything, or you know, we didn't ask for a picture. It wasn't anything, right? And I was like, at that very minute, I was like, you know what? It's been a long season. It was at the end of the season. Season was actually over. And I said, you know what? I'm going to chalk it up to, you know, maybe he's having a bad day. Fast forward to last week. Me and the kid out for ice
cream. What happened last week?
Out for ice cream. And,
Lovely.
Yeah, lovely. Everyone's like, Flanagan, you fat F, stop eating ice cream. So we're out for an ice cream. This time we're at North Hills. And we're walking down, and my kid sees this massive Great Dane puppy, and wants to run up to it. I'm like, hey man, make sure that you know ask, make sure it's okay to talk to the dog, pet the dog, because you know you have to be careful around dogs. And I immediately recognize the puppy as Instagram's favorite newest dog, Moose, who just happens to be Scott Darling's dog. Scott and his girlfriend are walking back to their car, and. So he stops, actually Scott's girlfriend, and says, hey, and he's three. He goes, hey, can I pet dog? And she's like, oh yeah, sure. He's nice. And they get the dog to sit and he pets him and having a good time. And I said, hey Finn, did you know who this guy is? And he goes, it's Scotty. And he's like, and Scotty was like, hey buddy. And he kind of, you know, Scott, giant ginger goalie, got down on one knee and started talking to the kid, you know, hey, how you doing? How'd you break your arm? All of this other stuff. My kid broke his arm, for those of you who don't know. And, you know, they talked for the better part of 5 minutes, and he goes, you know what my sister told me about? She said she saw you with my little Lego figure that you had broken your arm. We should get a picture together. And I was like, nah, I don't want to bother. He goes, no, let's get a picture. So I snapped a quick picture, and I said, hey, that's really nice, thanks. In the meantime, Scott's girlfriend's trying to train the dog, so she's giving Finn treats, and Finn's trying to help the dog sit. This happens over 5, 7, 8 minutes. Really nice interaction. Hey, good on you, kid. Thanks for hanging out. We go to Kilwin's. We get our ice cream. We're hanging out outside, eating our ice cream. I've got pistachio. Kid's got vanilla. Not that anybody cared, but pistachio is the greatest ice cream flavor. Fight me on that one.
Oh, those are fighting words.
Okay, that's fine. We'll fight. We will
talk offline.
So, yeah. It's probably been 10-15 minutes since we've seen Scott and his girlfriend and Moose, and we're sitting there like on the little bricks outside of Kilwin's, and come up and Finn gets a little tap on the shoulder, and it's Scott, and Scott goes, "Hey man, I just wanted to say thanks. I hope your arm feels better, and I look forward to seeing you." And then he walks back across the street, puts his dog in his car, and off they go. And what kind of struck me there, it wasn't the fact that he stopped and took the time with us, because we all, you know, Scott is on kind of a rebranding campaign all around town. But he didn't have to come back. He didn't have to take those couple extra seconds and come back and say, "Hey, thank you. That was really nice." And that there's something like indelibly burned into my brain at that minute. It wasn't the first interaction with Scott and his girlfriend, which was super nice and I really appreciated. It was the second time where he took time out without any recognition or anything and just wanted to say thanks to the kid again. It wasn't me. He didn't come tap me on the shoulder. Tapped the 3-year-old on the shoulder and said, "Hey, man, thanks. Good to talk to you." I don't, you know, there's going to be nights that we're going to give Scott holy hell, and he's going to have bad nights and good nights, and he's goalie, and it's voodoo. But it was at that very minute, as I was sitting outside of Kilwin's in North Hills, where something in my brain clicked that said, Skinner was missing that. And I immediately, and I wasn't thinking about trades or anything. I immediately went back to that interaction with Jeff Skinner. And I've had a lot of interactions with guys on the team out and around town. Raleigh's kind of a small town. You see the guys here and there, you know, never interrupt them at dinner, never approach them with their family. But you know, if you just happen to bump into them, you know, they're generally for the most part, nice enough to say hi, wave and keep on about your business. And it was at that moment that I was like, Jeff's done. He has no interest in being here whatsoever. He doesn't want to create roots. He doesn't want to be here. And I was, as I was sitting there, I remember coming home and I talked to you guys, a couple of you guys about this interaction. And I mentally, I'm going, Jeff Skinner is gone. And you know what? I put this out there on Twitter. I like Jeff. I wish him nothing but the best. I hope he goes out there and scores 35 goals for a last place Buffalo Sabres team. So that way our draft picks are better. But I'm kind of glad he's gone. I said it. There it is, folks. Stop following us. Don't subscribe. Leave us horrible reviews if you have to. I said it. I, Mike Flanagan, am glad Jeff Skinner is gone. I think this gives the team more flexibility. I think it gives us more options. I think it's going to give us rooms to move. Oh, and by the way, we now have a metric shit ton of draft picks should we want to go out there and get ourselves a rental at the trade deadline, because we might actually be good then. Come at me, Pat. Tell me I'm wrong.
Who are your top three centers this year? Because
Sebastian Aho, Marty Nechas, and Jordan Staal. There you go.
That's where I'm drawing my conclusions right now. We've had one full-time center in the NHL in that list.
I agree, but what happens if you trade for a guy like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who is immediately in that top three? That's not bad.
Is it Jordan Staal 2.0 or 3.0 again? It could go either way.
Absolutely, it could. But that gets rid of that kind of question mark, though, doesn't it? I don't know. That's the thing. We don't know. We don't know what's going on. We needed change. This roster needed absolute dramatic overhaul. And you don't get dramatic overhaul by not re-signing Ryan and not re-signing Nordstrom. That's not dramatic overhaul. Dramatic overhaul is Dougie Hamilton. Dramatic overhaul is Michael Ferland. Dramatic overhaul is a new GM and a new coach. And dramatic overhaul is getting rid of your former Calder Trophy winning Rookie of the Year prior to his ass leaving you for not a damn thing. Folks, it hurts.
This team
it
has
sucks.
Traded three of their first round draft picks from previous years.
Yes.
No one does that. No one does that. Because GMs just covet those things. Like it's, you know, they created them out of sand or something. You know, just they overvalue them sometimes. And it'll be good to have things in pencil instead of pen with this lineup.
Well, not only that, when you've got guys like Eric Tulski, who is the head of the head of GM Voltron, hopefully, maybe.
Tom and I would disagree. He is the Green Lion. But please continue.
I know. I don't know. I don't even know what a Voltron is. I'm too old. But with the minds that
we'll
we have,
kids,
and guys who were not so connected to these players and have to say, I drafted them fifth overall, or I traded this for them, I have to see what happens with them. We've got guys who are so non-sentimental. You look at this. Chuck Caton, gone. There is literally no sentiment by the people who are running this team at all. Good, bad, or indifferent. We said we want to get outside of hockey culture, and we want to get outside of the norm. You know what's the norm? Hockey men protecting hockey men for hockey men reasons. And there has been none of that this offseason. We haven't overpaid for names, whether it be coaches or GMs. We haven't bent to the will of other people for what they think they should do. Our team's done it their own damn way. And right or wrong, we're going to see come October 4th whether these were good or bad decisions. I don't know. I still think the entire season hinges on what happens in goal. And you know,
probably.
Jeff Skinner, does Jeff Skinner affect that? I don't know. Jeff Skinner has been a really good player for times.
Yeah, but he was not going to move the needle on whether this team made the playoffs or not.
No.
You know,
and isn't that the whole idea? We have to go to the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
I mean, is it
now's the time to make the move?
Yeah.
Like, so you referenced the Sporting News list. And if you look at that list, you look towards the very bottom, it's a bunch of Metro Division teams. This is going to be the first of probably 3 years where the tide's finally going to legitimately turn. You know, Pittsburgh is one or two injuries away from, you know, having a slip-up season. Washington, all right, they're defending cup champs, but how long are they going to keep that ship together? You know, CBJ, you know, they're on the verge of losing a future superstar and Panarin. So the time is now. So I just think this roster is, they've gotten their ducks in the row. They've moved out what I presume is most of what they wanted to move out. Let's see what happens in goal and see if they can, you know, latch on to, say, third in the division throughout October and November, and then they make a power move.
Yeah, who knows? Like I said, there's still changes to be had. And that's the thing. We don't know what's coming out of this team. We don't know what the coach is going to deliver. We don't know the next move that's going to come out of GM Voltron. And we don't know what the makeup of the lines are going to be, because it is a brand new start, folks. It is a fresh start in Raleigh. And I can just tell you, today sucks. Today hurts. We lost our sweet prince. We lost the kid who was going to take us to the promised land. But you know what? It might have been the tough move we needed to shake up this team and shake up this locker room to let people know that no one is safe. Come to camp with your ducks together. And boys, we are going to play a harder brand of ice hockey than you've ever seen in Raleigh. I don't know. That's all I can hope. Pat, I want to take a few minutes to say thank you for taking a few minutes out of your night to come listen to me tell stories and kind of shoot the shit with us. And folks, again, I know this isn't the quality content that you're used to, but it's the quality content that tonight deserves. And Jeff Skinner, I wish you the best in Buffalo, sir. And with that, as my good friends with Buffalo would say, go fuck yourself. Pat?
Sir?
Until then, my name's Pat.
I'm Mike.
We're out of here. Pyah!